Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church and on Facebook at facebook.com/abundantassembly. And now, on to this week's message.
This morning by just sharing something with you from the Extended Care in Fort McLeod. And the interesting thing about it is, I give the glory to Jesus. But they wanted to do a write-up about our story, our love story. And it was kind of wonderful because I had many chances to witness the name of Jesus. And yesterday another girl came and she asked me if she could have a book. So this is what they wrote, and I wanted you to hear this because the name of Jesus has gone out through that whole facility. Gary Zed, they just call him Gary Zed, met the love of his life, Eva, in his early 20s. Their paths crossed at a time of uncertainty and displacement for Gary. But for whatever reason, the Lord brought them together, and they kept company for a couple of years. But after completing Bible school, it was time for Eva to make her way up north to serve the Lord. At this time, Gary still had another year left at Bible college, so their paths needed to go in different directions, and so they did. It was not long after Gary was married to another girl, and Eva continued on her journey serving the Lord. But the Lord had unfinished business with Gary and Eva, because 42 years later, after the passing of Gary's first wife, Gary decided to pick up the phone and call his first love, Eva, whom he had cherished so many years ago. Well, when Eva heard the phone ring and realized that the other end was the love of her life, Gary, she was shocked to hear what he had to say. "Hi, can we pick up where we left off?"
That's so cute.
"And just a short moment later, would you marry me?" And of course, that was quite a shock for me, but it wasn't too long before I said yes. I was already 64, and time was running out. And it was only months later that Gary ventured to Edmonton, where Eva was visiting, and they brought a ring, and then 4 months later, in December, they were married. Friends and family were so happy they celebrated the unity of Gary and Eve by having two wedding receptions, one in NWT and one in Pincher Creek. And what's a true love story without a romantic honeymoon? Gary had bought a fancy white two-door Mustang, and they cruised away in marriage bliss right into the United States. And upon their return, they continued to travel while teaching others about Jesus. I love that. Then they decide to take up residence in Pincher Creek, where some good friends built them a house perfect for two. Gary and Eva have enjoyed over a decade of true love and cherished memories, and will be the first to tell you it was their faith in Jesus and in each other that brought their paths together. I thought, thank you, Lord. Christ Jesus is mentioned, and it went all over the Extended Care. Oh. To all their readers, whoever gets, probably the relatives of some of the people too, I said, thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray now that you'll bless this word to our hearts today as we learn to live in love. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray you'll bless each one here this morning, that we will receive something extra special from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was told that we're going to talk about live in love today. And I want you to go to 1 John 4, verse 8 to start with. We'll be looking at 1 John 3 and 4 because those are the passages that he gave me to preach from. Okay, so 1 John 4, 8. "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." You see, he's the source of love, right? He that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. And the man whose life is lived in love does, in fact, live in God. But remember, he's the only source of love. Remember that. He's the only source of love. So this morning, I just want to tell you three things about God's love. Before I do, I want to read you a poem that really stirred my heart about God's love. You know, everyone know that old song, "The love of God is greater far." I'm going to read it to you. It's a hymn in our hymn books. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever more endure the saints and angels' song. I want you to pay attention to this last verse I'm going to read to you. It's a very special verse, and it stirred my heart. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And the reason I'm reading that, because the author of this beautiful hymn, Lehman, in 1917, he tells us that verse 3 had been found penciled on the wall of a patient's room in an insane asylum after he'd been carried to his grave. Well, that's something to be able to write about the love of God, isn't it? Well, it's only supposition that he was the one who adapted the Jewish author's poem to leave us. Well, these well-known lines, if they count as true, it shows in any case he highly esteemed the message. So in other words, it's supposed that he's the one that actually composed it, but if not, he wrote it on the wall, and he was considered insane. I believe God showed his wonderful love to that man in that terrible place that he was in. Wow. So that's, I want to just tell you a few facts about God's love, the love of God this morning. And the reason why I'm dwelling on this is because, you see, we have to have his love before we can do anything, right? I want to talk about his amazing love in verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 1. And let's just read it. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That was my mom's favorite verse. And I often see her right now saying, beloved, his love is greater. His love is greater. It's more powerful than anything else. You see, this was a special love God has for us, agape love. I mean, it's only the love that God can give. No man can give each other that unless they have God, because it's only God that gives agape love. And it's given without measure. Like, there's no end of the measure of his love for you and for me. And it says here, just the idea given is, he's lavishing his love on us, pouring it out upon us. Wow. Like, you know, you that, you know, have people that you love, how much do you appreciate when love is really poured out on you? I mean, but this is more than we can even understand, poured out, and it's permanently bestowed upon us. He's not going to take his love away. It's ours forever. And as a result of his love, it says here, wow, gives us the status of being the children of God. I mean, do we live below what we have? I mean, we are the children of God. He has made us his child. And it says a little further that we're even going to be like him. When we see him, we're going to be like him. Now, tell me something. We can't help but love him. Can we? As his love dwells in us. I mean, his love should be so felt in our lives that it just kind of exudes to others. It just pours out to others. And I wanted to read you something, and I'm sure that our sister Pat could tell you more, but I was reading something, and I was thinking, wow. I mean, how do you love others that you hate and are enemies? I mean, you can love someone maybe that loves you, but to love, so amazing. And I was reading in Israel Today, about a man, in fact, two men, but one in particular, who used to be a Muslim and a strong leader against God's people, against Christians. And he said, this is what I want. I really stuck out to me. Yeshua is the one who filled my heart with love for the Jewish people. He is the one who deserves all the glory for this testimony. Yeshua is the one who changes enemies, Arabs and Jews, into best friends. Wow. Yeshua is alive and he is pure love. See what attracts people? The love. And then he says, and I just couldn't get over some of this because it talks about some of the former terrorists, and I'm sure there are a lot of them that have come to the Lord now, but these pro-Israel Arabs, including myself, this is what they're saying, that we must be mentally ill, or that they must all be speaking the truth concerning the love of Yeshua that touched lives, touched their hearts so much that they would even risk their lives to defend, a Palestinian would defend a Jew, because they love so much because of Jesus and his love. Wow. And in fact, this man said that he even started a program so that he could, it's called kind of like a pro-Zionist movement, so that they could help people to really see the Jewish people in the love of God. And it says here that the Palestinian hearts are open to the hearts of Israel and his Messiah, Yeshua, and to the love that flows from him. The love of God of Israel gives to us the love of Yeshua and the love for the Jewish people. That's what God has done. And Pat could probably testify that a dozen times, and others could too. But this amazing love, can you get over it? It's so amazing that we look at people that are really tough and we think they'll never get one for the Lord. But his love is so amazing that as Christians show their love to others, he uses that love to bring them in. Because I dare say, as you look at these testimonies, if they saw love in people's hearts and in people's lives. The amazing love of Jesus. Oh, the amazing love of God. So another, I wanted to tell you another thing about his love is sacrificial love. And you find that in chapter 3 and verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his love for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You see, Christ fulfilled the supreme act of love. Can you give any more than give your life, right? Self-sacrifice. And in John 10, he says, I lay down my life. Voluntarily, I lay down my life so that people might know the Father. I lay down my life. It was all voluntary. But sometimes as we think about giving all and sacrificial life, sometimes the love of God so fills people's lives that they are willing to die for another Christian and even unsaved people. And we know that. We can look at all the missionaries that gave their lives for the Lord, and we know that people are willing to go that second mile and give because they love so much. They love God so much, and they love the people so much. I tell you, to live in love is being willing to give all, you know. And we say, well, yeah, the Lord's not asking us to give our life out right now. I mean, we're in a peaceful country and everything. But you know what? I believe that God wants us to be willing to show love where it's needed. That's really important. I was thinking of a missionary that I went to help in the early years. And one thing that really impressed me about Mrs. Bailey was she was herself not well. She had asthma. She didn't always feel perfect, and she was already in her 50s or 60s, so she wasn't as young as I was in my 20s. But you know what? I watched her love in action. I watched her giving all. She would go out and visit some of the old native people. She would wash the floors of the old grandmas. And she would bring people food. And she would work with them and help them and do all kinds of things for them. And I used to think, do the people even understand what you're doing? Yes, they understood the love. They understood that she wasn't even well herself, but she was sacrificing. She was out helping someone else, even though she herself wasn't that well. And I guess that shows us that we can have a self-sacrificing love too. We can give all. We can say, well, the Lord gave everything. He laid down his life for us. I can be a little bit uncomfortable once in a while and do things that are not in my schedule. Right? I can do other things to reach out to people. And so I think that's very important, that sacrificial love, that we don't forget how wonderful it is and how the Lord gave everything. He gave everything that we might be able to show his love to others. And isn't it wonderful? The love of God dwelling in you. Praise the Lord. Then I'm going to go to another thing about God's love, and that is, it's an act of love. An act of love. Say, what are you saying there? Well, chapter 4, verse 9, it says, in this the love of God was manifest toward us, that he has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This was the greatest demonstration of God's love. The greatest. He was sending his only Son down to earth. He knew what was in the future. He knew that the Son would be persecuted and die. But you know what? God's love was revealed through that life of Christ, the 3 years that he was on this earth. Because when Jesus came and he lived among men, his love was shown. And God's love was shown because he showed compassion. And he would heal people. And he would deliver people, and he would forgive people, and he would set people free. And the love of God was, if you want to see how the love of God was in action, you just look at the life of Christ and see how God, he not just sent his Son, not only caused all the angels to sing and all the action that came along with the birth and the wise men and the star and all those things that God prepared and what action he was in, but then through Christ, the action that he made toward his people. You know, he was sending his Son because he was making salvation possible for us all, eternal life for us all. Because we didn't love him first, he loved us. And he made atonement for us so that we can have forgiveness, peace with God. That's what it is, atonement, at one with him. Peace with God. Because of his wonderful love, sending, acting toward us, showing his love toward us, that he sent his only Son. Of course, we know John 3:16, that he's the only Son. He loved us so much. Wow. And it says there in verse 11, because he did this, then he sent his Son, that we, in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. See, there's always action required with love because, well, you take, I'm thinking of a married couple now, someone wonderfully in love, and you know, if they never talk to each other and if they never do anything for each other, you know, soon the love, there's no love there. But you know, when a husband, I always say this because I love it, brings you flowers, because I love flowers. When a husband brings you flowers, that's for Travis, actually. you know, there's an evidence there that someone loves you. And you know, you can't really totally express your love by just giving simple little earthly gifts. But when you show that you love by your feelings, you show you how much you love them by the things you do for them, you know, it's really something how love can be manifest and how much it affects you. Because, you know, you're loved. There's something, you're loved. And when you're loved, I used to say to some people I was counseling, look, if you show love, they won't be able to do enough for you. Because love has that, brings that out in the other person. If you show love, the other person can't do enough. And you know, that's what I was thinking about us, you know. This act of love, knowing that God sent his son for me, for you, giving us eternal life, showing us his love. Wow. There should be some action happening there, because we should just, oh, he loves me that much. Oh, Lord, I love you. Just keep me in your love. And you know, as you walk in the love of the Lord, what happens? You want to please him, just like you want to please an earthly love. You want to please him. You want to do anything for him. Lord, whatever you have for me, I'm going to walk in your love. Wow. Isn't that something? And because you see, the world sees the love in us, and it gives evidence that God is in us. And it shows that God has taken up a lasting relationship with us. That person's got something because they just love so much. It just exudes from them. Wow. Now think about some of the impossible people you know. Think about some of the people that are hard to reach. Well, I'll tell you something. Love will do more than you ever could ask or think. Because when you start reaching out to that impossible person, not to show off, just send them a little note or send them a little gift or just have coffee with them or whatever you do to show love. You know what? As you go into action. See, we can say we love all we like. That's what the Bible says. And we can just sit in our pews. Oh, yeah, I love everybody. I love everybody. I love my neighbor. I even love some of the people in the church. And I love the people outside of the church, the ones that aren't too, you know, shady or whatever. I love the other ones anyhow. But you see, that's not what love is all about. Love is action. Going into action and doing something for the Lord. Because you can't help it. I'm not putting a heavy on you. I'm not saying you got to go out and show love to somebody. No. You just put your love toward God, just like you just do anything for your spouse. Well, you'll do anything for God. And you know what? His love will just flow through you. And it'll just be automatic. And you'll start to see things happen. It's so wonderful, you know, because we can't help showing out the love of God. So we just have to look at the fact that, you know, we see what God's love does, how wonderful it is, and how powerful his love is. And you know what? All we have to do is draw close and snuggle up. You know, we make Christianity so hard. Do this, don't do this, don't do that. So if everybody just snuggles up to God and loves God, you'll be doing plenty. In fact, you won't be able to contain what you're doing because it'll just blossom for you. See, God's love is so amazing. It makes his children just so loved because he makes us his children. He birthed us. We are born again in his love because of his salvation, because of his love. We are his children. That's hard to imagine that you're his child, but you are. And you know, there are others that need to be his children too. So we need to just, if we exude that love, people will say, wow, whatever they got, I want. And then you can introduce them to the one who will make them his child. God's love is sacrificial, giving all. Are we willing? Are we willing? It's a hard attitude, isn't it? I want to do my own thing, thank you. No, I just love you, Lord. I'm willing to do anything for you. Makes a difference even in your Christian life. And verse 12 shows us that, and I like this, it shows us, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. Wow. In verse 12, it shows that the love, what God has put in us, has accomplished its purpose by producing a person who gives love to others. You see, that's not a natural thing. People are selfish. They want to do their own thing. But we're being perfected. And that's the purpose of God, is to put his love in us. And we become the person that produces love to others. So, my friends, today, live in love. Live in love. We can't help it. We're going to walk ahead in love and see the miracles of God performed only because He loves us first. And now we love Him for all that He's done for us. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank You. Lord, we can't even imagine Your love. We can't even imagine how amazing Your love is to us. Lord, we just thank You so much. Lord, we love You today. Lord, I just pray that as we draw close to You, Lord, that Your love would just be manifest through us to others, and that people will be asking about You, Lord, because they see something that the world does not give. The world doesn't know true love. And so, Lord, I just pray that each one here today would just yield themselves to You, Lord, and to Your wonderful love, and walk in Your love, live in Your love, Lord, that others may find You, that other Christians may be reconciled to one another. Lord, I just pray in Your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, I just wanted to, I know there might be someone that wants prayer, and I'm not sure just if you feel like that you need prayer and you just want me to pray, I'm just going to pray right from here. If you feel that you need prayer and to walk that love life with the Lord and you need more prayer for that, just put your hand up and I'm going to pray. Okay, and anybody else? Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's just say, Lord, You see these that have a desire to walk a closer relationship with You. Pour Your love out on them, Lord, in such a way that they can't resist Your power and love. Pour Your love out on them, Lord, so that when they walk this day, they will feel Your arms around them and Your precious love flowing through them to others. Thank You, Lord. I just pray that You'll bless each one here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Abundant Springs Podcast. Tune in next week for more Bible-based encouragement.